Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
Yo mama is so lovely. When she gets a haircut, people say, nice haircut.
That's wonderful. Your glasses are so well adjusted that I bet that you don't even have a problem with them falling down the bridge of your nose.
Oh! I just got unschooled.
And this is Stranger Still.
That's the dumbest intro we've ever done. Stranger Still,
a podcast where we say words with our mouths and you learn
sometimes. You learn that the things you once thought were true are not true, and sometimes you just learn cool stuff that you never knew about,
and sometimes you learn cool unschool stuff.
Okay, this week we're talking about unschooling. And there's always like the stay in school, don't do drugs.
Yeah,
so
they both turn out to be false. Yeah, do drugs and stay home.
Do drugs and stay unschooled.
Do drugs and stay home. That's going to be our first t-shirt if you go to strangerlittleshow.com/shop.
That's still not a link. If you can't tell, I am under the weather this week, and I just took some sinus medication, which means that hopefully my voice will get better and my headache will go away.
Cool.
Progressively, because I just took it, so as we go through this episode, it'll progressively get better.
And I'm not sick.
Yeah, sure.
Because... positive thinking.
Is that what it is?
I'm a little
bit. Are you like a Seventh-day Adventist?
I used to be a little sick.
Oh.
I don't know nothing about the Adventist.
Go listen to Ono, Ross, and Carrie. They have a good episode on it. Like, I believe it's the Seventh-day Adventists that believe...
Oh, no, it's germ theory you're thinking of. The Christian Science Room. The Christian Scientists that don't believe in germs.
Oh, is it the Christian
germs? Scientists? Yeah. Because there's a Christian Science Center near me, and I was like, I wonder if they have a cleaner at night.
Yeah. Well, one of those two. I can't remember what the weird thing about Seventh-day Adventists is, but Christian Scientists believe that if you are sick, it's because you think you're sick.
Yeah.
You're not actually sick, but the belief that you're sick is why you're sick. Ugh. So, but like if you're born with a disability or something like that, it's because when you were in utero, your parent believed that you were sick. So it transmuted beliefs to you, and
so
now you believe you're sick right out of the womb.
Yeah, so guilt the parents.
Yep, it's a good religion. Anyway, you know what school is, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's actually going to tie into this because I have some fears about homeschooling.
Okay, this isn't homeschooling, though.
Okay.
This is unschooling, which is distinctive from homeschooling, and you'll understand why. I've got some stats and studies and all kinds of stuff about homeschooling, traditional schooling, and unschooling. And unschooling is getting kind of popular these days, and it's the idea that you don't have any structure for your kid when they're learning. They just learn what they want when they want, and your role as the parent is to encourage them learning, but you never tell them what to do. You don't assign them homework. You don't say, you need to learn math today. If they want to learn math, they'll learn it. If they want to learn something and they come to you and say, how do I learn about this? Then you give them suggestions on resources to use, but you never flat out say, like, you need to go watch this video on Audition. Like, you don't subscribe learning. They do it all themselves.
That's
right. That is unschooling.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, okay.
No, I like it.
I'm surprised at your reaction. Because when I first heard of this, I was like,
hippies.
That sounds dangerous. My first reaction was, this sounds dangerous, but the other thing, too, is that every person that's an advocate for unschooling, like, they presented unschooling as if it was perfect and the solution to everything, and I'm immediately skeptical when someone presents something as a panacea, because nothing is a panacea, otherwise everyone would do it.
Yeah.
That's just, like, laws of nature. If something it worked, like, if you didn't have to work out and everything made you lose weight, everyone would do it.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't have to sell it. Anyway. It's another topic for another day. So I was skeptical, but as I started to research this, I found out that unschooling is pretty cool. There are some problems with it that we'll get to, but it's not as bad as I initially thought.
My initial reaction without knowing what your research is like, I have a kid, they come home and they say, look, I caught a grasshopper. And then in turn, I go and I buy like a science kit and we go on a like bug spree.
Yeah, that's what they want to learn about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unschooling is like homeschooling in that you do it all from your home, but you take all the structure, like homeschooling is still like school in that there's structure and curriculum. You toss all that out the window, and you have more of a hands-off approach to the kids learning, and they teach themselves. That's as simple as it is. They're interested in something, they pursue it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And some people call it unstructured homeschooling or independent studies. There's a bunch of different names for it. Whatever you call it, it's... We're just going to call it unschooling for today's purposes. It's a lot easier to say.
It's a bigger net.
Yeah, it's easier than saying unstructured homeschooling every time. So basically, that's the governing philosophy on it. There's more to it. We'll get to that. The whole idea of unschooling started in the 1970s, back when all the hippies were around.
Yeah.
Thanks to a dude named John Holt. He was very much an advocate for free learning and youth's rights when it came to education. So he's always like trying to free the mind.
Yeah, typical hippie. Typical hippie John.
I can say freaking hippie because my wife is one.
Okay.
Love you, Shelby.
I am one, so.
You are also one. And I'm on my way. So he and many other people thought that the structure of traditional schooling left a lot of kids behind, a lot of students behind. I think that there's a lot of truth to that. Kids, the whole philosophy of unschooling is like you let the kid learn at their own pace. And in traditional schooling, if a kid gets behind, the class moves on and they stay behind and mm-hmm. they continue to get more and more behind. And I think that's a valid criticism of traditional schooling. But we'll get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. These days, I think it's gaining popularity because schools are becoming more and more scary to be in. So people are finding reasons to not be there.
Yeah.
Whether that's homeschooling. And then once you start getting into homeschooling, you learn about other teaching techniques at home. And unschooling is one of those.
Yeah. If you're like in 2030 right now.
Yeah.
Betsy DeVos exists.
It's DeVos. I think it's DeVos. I think the S is pronounced.
She doesn't deserve it a proper matter. Pronunciation.
That's fair. Let's just call her Betty DeVos.
Betty DeVos.
In 2030, she's the president, let's be honest.
Oh, God. Probably.
But no, like, we got school shootings, and bullying is still a major problem. We've got, like, Montessori schools that are becoming more popular and more mainstream, and so is unschooling. And the reason I wanted to cover this topic is because... Like I said, when I first heard it, I was like, "This, hang on, dude, this sounds really dangerous."
Yeah.
Like, you just let kids run free?
Sounds a little flat earth, yeah. Like, tutorial.
Like, it immediately tickles the skeptic part of my brain. But to answer last week's criticism, we're not closed-minded. I changed my opinion on unschooling halfway through my research. I don't go into these with a narrative, but we'll get there. We'll get there. Just don't say I'm closed-minded, and I won't be offended by it. I take criticism if it's warranted, but if I'm not closed-minded, you can't call me closed-minded.
Yeah, that's fine. I know you're getting paychecks from the school district for this.
Our listeners might be wondering, why would someone want to unschool in the first place? Other than, like, schools are a scary place to be.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other... Like, our current school system is completely perfect, right?
Well,
there's no problems with it whatsoever.
No, they are perfect.
And also... So don't ever say anything to...
Okay, so I'll try to say this in a positive way. some states that are lower...
Yeah.
I don't want to say any offensive words, like, south of us.
Yeah.
They're lower and they're closer to the hemisphere. How about that?
Yeah.
That's positive.
they're closer to better weather.
Whitewash history a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big problem.
There's
right
some
now
of that.
Too.
There's a bunch of issues that we won't get into today. Like, as simple as funding. Like, mm-hmm. some schools just don't get good funding. So they don't have as good an education as somewhere in the same city.
Yep.
It's totally bass ackwards. Can I say that on this show?
Yeah, no.
I just did.
As long as people don't play this backwards.
So when you ask an unschooler or an unschool advocate what's wrong with traditional schooling, or even homeschooling, the criticism is wide and, of course, varied. It depends on who you ask. But there are some reasons that I really agree with. I've already alluded to some of them. Like, not every kid learns at the same pace, and it's just a snowball effect. If they don't understand how multiplication works, the class moves on.
Mm-hmm.
That
was me. I took Math B for 3 times.
Yeah.
And then I failed, and they're like, just get out of high school, dude. Yeah. They just passed me.
Yeah. And the other thing is that schools aren't tailored to kids' interests, and it's hard. Like, it's obvious to everyone. It's hard to get a kid to learn something that they don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the age-old question is, why am I learning this? I'm never going to use it in the real world. It's not interesting to them.
Yeah.
So it's trying to cast a wide net on something that you can't really do that to. Well, the whole idea of structure of schools, this is kind of where we get to more of the fringe stuff, but the structure of school expects a kid to conform, and when the kid doesn't conform, they can become socially outcast or socially awkward,
mm-hmm.
And they might develop social anxiety as a result of that. There's also a fear of failure, which I think is actually more consistent with, like, the constant fear of testing and being compared to your peers and, like, am I going to get into the special class? Oh, man, I didn't get into AP Bio or whatever.
Not only that, but in New York, you have to take, like, the Regents test and all that.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, do well on that or you don't go to school.
Yeah.
You don't go to college.
Yeah.
And everything leads up to that, starting from, like, elementary school.
Yeah. And a lot of people say, like, I just don't test well. That's definitely true.
Yeah.
Like, I'm better with hands-on, mm-hmm. whatever. John Holt also famously said, how can you know what knowledge will be useful in the future and then teach it in schools?
Yeah.
You can't predict what's going to be useful to these kids.
Well, my class was, I remember in my second grade essential oils class, I was like, am I ever going to use this? And then she's like, you might have a podcast one day.
Yeah.
I was like, what's that?
She's
like,
really,
I don't know.
Thinking. I don't really agree with that criticism. He just said basically let the kids learn what's important for them to learn, and then they'll learn whatever else is important once they get into the real world. I'll circle back around to that at the very end, but I don't agree with that. This is where we get to the more fringe side of things, but I came across some things that... I don't want to cast judgment, but, like, it started to get to the territory where people thought schools and homeschooling brainwashes your child, and, like, in terms of history and economics and political ideal, like, the all of these kids are turning, all of our schools are turning kids into liberals and all that. Yeah. There's also the people that think that schools force kids into the whole respect authority mentality, and that leads our country into a world of authoritarianism. Which I think is dumb, because I know a lot of people that don't respect authority that I went to school with.
Yeah.
I know a guy that has, like, the Anarchy A tattooed on him.
You've never met a snot-nosed kid in your class? Like, I don't know who's saying these things. It sounds very conservative.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I used to work out of school, so I'm sure I'll bring that up later, too.
Yeah. Well,
And I knew plenty of snot-nosed kids.
And they were all named Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of unschooling is to answer those criticisms, and by doing that, they're hopefully creating more well-rounded individuals who are more comfortable in their own skin. They've learned stuff that they're interested in, and they're excited to learn, hopefully. Can't always guarantee that.
Yeah.
Your kid's just a lazy bum. But I kind of gave a broad definition up at the front, but I want to dive more into what unschooling is. Just to reiterate, it's where you put the learning in the child's hands. The idea is that kids are naturally curious, natural learners, so they'll continue seeking out what is important to them or what interests them. I don't know. I guess I kind of see... I think the only thing I have to compare that to is my two-year-old daughter, which I guess the best comparison I have is she picks up on words, and we would start calling things by their color, and then she wanted to know more about colors, so then we got books about colors. So I guess we're kind of feeding into her wanting to learn there.
Yeah, you're kind of doing that on your own. I mean, it just depends on what level you do it at.
Yeah. It's also important that they learn at their own pace. Every kid has a different learning style as well. Like, some are hands-on. Some do better with a chalkboard. Some are better at reading a book and soaking it in. Some people need to get out in the field and actually do it to understand it. That's me. Like, I need to touch stuff before I can learn what it is. I can just watch someone else do it and understand it.
Yeah.
But to be fair to public,
I remember schools, I made you that macaroni and cheese, and you're like, what? I don't understand what this is until you dug your hands in.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't wash my hands.
No, but
it was really gross.
You knew what it was after you touched it. Yeah.
It was really hot.
It was, it was very hot.
I got scars from
you
that
do.
Still.
Yeah. Memorable meal.
Yeah. But I want to give credit to public schools. I feel like they've done a better job at catering to other learning styles. Like, even when I was in elementary school, like, when we were learning addition, they'd have it up on the overhead projector, and then we'd have, like, a written thing about it, and then they would give us, like, those blocks that we could use to count. Like, take three triangles and add them to three more triangles. How many triangles do you have? Like, it's more tactile, more hands-on, so it's easier to learn with stuff like that. So I feel like schools are getting better at that.
Six.
You got that?
Yeah.
So fast. I'm really proud of you, buddy. And again, if one school kid doesn't understand something, it doesn't matter. The idea with unschooling is if they're interested in it and they don't understand it, they'll keep learning about it until they finally understand it.
Yeah.
So if they don't get multiplication right away, they'll keep looking into it until they finally get it.
Yeah, and then you get extra help and then you stay after class. And
no, that's regular schooling.
And
they don't have class.
Ooh, man, that's kind of harsh words. You heard it here first, folks. He thinks they have no class if you go to school.
Yeah, I've seen you unschoolers. There's no curriculum in unschooling. Again, it's whatever the kid wants to learn about, and they're very, like, stringent about that. Like, there's no class, not...
Hold on a second. Style.
Yeah, go on.
How do you even get started? There can't be a rule list if there's no rules. Like, all right, so, like, okay, so, like, take your kid and, like, so what do you like? Yeah. And then just, like, go for it, dude.
Yeah, that's what all the websites said. Verbatim.
Great. Go for it, dude.
But your role...
My dude was top dude at my house. I have that bumper sticker on my car, dude.
Yeah. My child is an unschooled honor roll student.
Yeah.
An honor roll student?
I don't know.
Someone write in and tell me what the right conjunction of those words is. Your role as the parent, though, is to suggest the learning tools. I saw a lot of people using stuff like Minecraft to teach their kids, which at that point, it's just, that's not learning. That's just video games.
I don't know.
But as a kid, I'd be like, this is sick.
They do that in computer labs in actual school.
I know. I'm just being a jerk. The closest we get to curriculum, though, is that you as the parent are suggesting those learning tools. And there's also no homework because unschooled students learn, they begin learning whenever they want and they stop whenever they want, which means that if they want to learn at night, they'll learn at night. And I guess you could consider that homework, but it's not really homework.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate real quick.
Yes, please do while I take a sip of water.
I wait for you to get nice and hydrated so you can listen better.
Oh,
isn't it all homework, Nick?
No. Well, one website said that you can't be late to a lesson if there is no lesson, and you can't end a class if there is no class.
All I can think about is that meme of that guy pointing to his head. That's like the face of unschooling.
Yeah. So that's basically unschooling. Like that's all of
that's a big meme.
Criteria that make. Oh, you're still talking about memes.
That's what unschooling is.
Oh, got it. But that's basically the criteria. If you're doing those, you're unschooling. If you're interested in unschooling, it's really easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you do is just pull your kid out of school. Done. I was kidding. The easiest way to start is to look for something your child is interested in. Like you were joking before, but literally, it's like, what do you want to learn about?
Yeah.
Do you want to learn about how to put drywall up? All right. Well, I just tore out this wall in my basement. Here's the tools.
Yeah.
Figure it out. A lot of websites rightfully suggest trying to find fun and engaging ways your child might be able to further their learning and use that as your suggestions. You also have to be nimble about it. And if your kid is tired of learning about something and wants to move on, you don't dwell on it. Like, you just let them move on.
Hmm.
Even if you spent like $1 million on that drywall project and they're all of a sudden bored with it, you gotta let them move on.
And you got a big hole in your wall.
And you just got a big hole
and
in
a hippie
wall.
Kid. What did you do to yourself?
How did we get here?
So on the other end of things then,
yeah.
What are the downsides of like, you got a closed-minded parent?
Mm-hmm.
Now what? Let me teach you about the snowflakes.
Well,
let me teach you about the lizard folks.
You got Alex Jones as a dad. Well, I don't know. That's a different problem. But there's a lot of, you have to be.
But the difference there is that would be like a homeschooling thing because you're forcing it upon your kid.
Yeah.
Whereas.
That's no longer unschooling.
Unschooling, it's got to be at their pace.
At their own pace. And a lot of websites say that you gotta have an open mind. You can't go into this with a closed off mind. Otherwise, you're not gonna let your kid learn whatever they want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if that's satanic rituals, you gotta let them do it because that's what they want to learn about.
I mean, if they get as far as to summon the demon of Smorsborg. I'm sorry, I have to say it backwards or else I'll summon it.
Yeah.
You know, that's something you got to do. If you got to cut the chalk down and write 666, and then you get the holy water and you microwave it for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you stir and then you microwave it for another 10 minutes and you wait 5 so you don't burn yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the demon comes and...
It does what?
I get it.
So if you're like me, or a longtime listener of this show, you probably had a lot of red flags pop up by now. Like, what about it when they get into the real world? How will they conform to a structured job if they have had no structure throughout their education? Or how will they compare to their peers, I guess you'd call them, children of like age? How will they continue in a higher education like college or an apprenticeship? Or
how will they learn that some people are awful?
That's a good question. Like, how just social interaction in general. How are they going to have social interaction if they're not around school kids all day? Are they going to be socially awkward? What if they don't want to learn?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a qualified teacher. How am I supposed to teach them? How are they going to learn essentials like math and reading?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What did you want to say?
Oh, I said I got a peek at your note, and it's Child Fight Club. What you do is you put them in a room and you
profitable.
Make them. Yeah. You make them fight. You make them learn. They learn how to interact. They learn how to stand up for themselves and fight. Teach them from home. Wasn't that a movie? Did you see that movie? Wasn't it Kick-Ass? Didn't he teach his daughter how to do that? Wasn't she unschooled?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't like that movie, so I wasn't paying attention.
Okay, well, it's okay.
Maybe I'd like it if I went back.
Nick Cage was in it. That's my Nick Cage.
That sounds like Sean Connery.
Hey, it's me, Nick Cage.
Hey, it's me, Nick Cage.
Oh, that's much better.
I was in that movie where I said bees, not the bees.
I found the Constitution in my backyard or something.
You lost the plot. Now you're Indiana Jones's dad. So I've structured the questions in the way that I did because that's a lot of the common criticisms that I'd come across, not only on the websites that tried to defend unschooling, but also the skeptics like me. I want to walk through these red flags, and then every single one I have a response for.
Okay.
From unschoolers.
I'm ready to get down this slope.
Yep. And I'll just give it as they presented it, and then I found some studies to say whether or not these responses are valid or not. Some of them are, some of them aren't. A lot of these responses I got from all over the place, but most of them came from an unschooled adult who now has a blog, which is yesicanwrite.blogspot.com.
Jeez.
I know.
What a hippie. Of course you get unschooled and write a blog. Yeah. I'm a blogger now.
So what if they want to learn something? Basically, the only response to this is that children are natural learners and unschooling removes barriers of making learning undesirable.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you see a kid that doesn't want to learn something, it's because they're being forced to. I don't really know how I feel about that. It's not really a
strong response. When a kid doesn't want to learn something?
Yeah, I don't feel like that's a strong answer to the question, what if my kid doesn't want to learn?
I don't know. I think you got to have a yin and yang where it's like, I want you to try this more than once,
mm-hmm.
but I also don't want to force you if you gave it a fair share.
Yeah. The other problem I have with it is it's not quantifiable. It's just something that you observe about kids, and it's not objective at that point. It's subjective.
Yeah.
So,
and it could also be something that you find important, like,
yeah.
I don't want to learn how to spell.
Well, you probably should.
Yeah.
To counterpoint that, though, is I've gone back and read books that I was forced to read in high school, and I just pretended to read because I didn't want to read them because I was being forced to, and I loved them when I read them as an adult because I wanted to read them.
Yeah. Other counterpoint for that specific example is, well, if you want to learn about, like, space, mm-hmm. it helps to learn how to spell, so you can read books.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But also, to traditional schooling's credit, there's many times in high school where, or even elementary school, where the teachers would be like, here's four books. Here's the synopsis for these books.
Oh,
which one
awesome.
Do you want to read? And I would actually read those books. Like, that's why I read Fahrenheit 451, because that was an option between, like, five other books.
Doesn't that seem like the best solution to everything and just offer more options?
Yes.
For everything?
Yes.
Like food?
Yes.
Politics?
Yes.
Yeah.
Always. Well, maybe not always.
Like, I can't
rather be killed by a guillotine or killed by being shot in the head.
That sounds much better too.
Oh, okay.
Guillotine's fun. You can play a little soccer after.
Okay. The other criticism.
It keeps basket makers employed too. Creates jobs.
Yes. It's basket weaving. And I'll thank you to remember that next time. Next criticism, I'm not a qualified teacher. Well, the answer to that is you don't have to be a teacher because the kid is the teacher. They're teaching themselves. You're just there to push them along in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't say that's wrong because that's the complete idea.
Now, how many of these do you hear in your head in Bill O'Reilly's voice as he shakes in anger?
All of them.
Yeah.
What about they won't be able to go to college? Well,
everybody tweet this to Fox News so we could get some negative press.
Yes. All press is good press or whatever.
If you want it to be, Nick. you know, you got to go at your own pace.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel good. So a lot of people assume that unschoolers won't be able to go to college. And I did come across this in my research. And a lot of unschoolers go to college. Like, I think it was somewhere in the, I think it was like 83% of unschoolers ended up seeking higher education. So that's a valid response.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do go to school.
That's awesome. It puts faith in the fact that, like, kids do want to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And
that's what this whole thing's based on.
There's plenty of articles that again, anecdotally, but they followed unschooled children to college and they didn't have problems assimilating. So maybe that's because you get to choose the classes you want to take.
Yeah.
I don't know. What about they'll be socially awkward? And many unschoolers will say that socialization isn't a problem. They have plenty of friends.
Yeah, everyone's awkward. It's the internet age.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a thing anymore.
But my problem with that is, that's, again, not quantifiable, but I don't want my kids' only friends to be my friends as kids. Like, I want them to be friends with all walks of life and be exposed to all kinds of people.
Yeah.
So that their variety is the spice of life. I'm friends with a bunch of nerds. I don't want them, all of their friends, to also just be nerds as kids.
Yeah. Get them stuffed in a locker, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
It's part of life.
Get beat up by a jock.
Sounds great. It doesn't sound great. How are they going to deal with the structured real world, John?
Mm.
And this is the exact response from Yes, I Can Write. And I don't think it's especially strong, but I'm going to read it as they said it. They said, this is a strange thing for people to think, in my opinion, considering that school is an artificial environment where children and teenagers are segregated from the outside world in same age classrooms for hours every day, where their lives are ruled by bells, where teachers hold all authority, and where, if an individual decides not to attend, a truant officer can go to their house and force them to do so. This does not sound like the real world, though it does sound a little like prison. Unschoolers, on the other hand, spend their lives actually in the real world, exploring and learning from it.
Hashtag influencer, hashtag bitter.
I don't agree with like any of that.
That sounds pretty brutal.
High school maybe felt like a prison, but that's because I was angsty and a teenager.
Okay, so I could see the thought process that, you know, it's social conditioning to make you respect authority because you have to respect the government at some point.
But I also don't think that's true, just from my experiences. I know plenty of different people that turned out different ways and have many different political leanings.
Mm-hmm.
Many of which have removed me on Facebook, even though I went to school with them for 12 years.
Yeah.
But the last thing, and this is maybe the most interesting part, is how do they compare to their peers or children that are their age or in their quote-unquote grade level? Unschoolers will say that they aren't learning the same things as all the other kids, so it's not easy to compare, or you can't possibly compare what knowledge they have to their peers, to which I strongly disagree, because there are certain things that you can quantify and that they do use in the real world, like reading or simple calculation or what are some of the
logic
other things
puzzles.
I have? Logic, like problem solving or like
any of that.
Speaking, which I'm not doing very well right now. Those things we can quantify, and this is where we start turning to some studies. There's not a lot of studies out there, and most of them were opinion surveys or questionnaires, and I've already expressed my concern with questionnaires, but this is even a little bit worse because a lot of the surveys were like, how do you feel about unschooling? Do you feel that your student or your child is on par with other children their age? And it'd be filled out by the parent, who already has a positive bias toward unschooling because they've invested this.
My kid's the worst! Are you kidding me?
They're
didn't even
so
make his bed
dumb.
This morning, and he's the dumbest!
So I'm not big on that. And sometimes they were filled out by the students themselves, and sometimes
well, if that's what they're interested in, is lying on surveys, then you gotta go.
But some of the surveys too were by unschooled students that are now like in their 40s and 50s.
Okay. I think at that point you can make a fair assessment if you have a regret about your educational upbringing.
Yeah. For the most part, those ones came back positive. A lot of people didn't have a lot of qualms about their unschooling, but I don't want to spend a lot of time on those because of the reasons I just stated. I did find one empirical study, it took me forever to find, but they looked at all of these quote-unquote real-world skills like speaking and math and reading and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the method they use to classify the student's aptitude is a little hard to explain, but I'm going to try my best, so bear with me and let me know if it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
basically, they took three groups of kids. There's homeschoolers, public schoolers, and unschoolers. They put them on a chart with seven different measurements. There was letter word identification, word comprehension, calculation, science, social science, humanities, and word attack. Sounds cool, but it's basically their ability to say a word by sounding it out. Like they're introduced to a word they've never seen before, and they have to try to pronounce it correctly. That's what we're doing.
That's awesome.
So they took these three student categories and seven measurements and put them on a scale of grade levels.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were zero on the scale, they were performing at their grade level. And if they were above zero, they were however many grades ahead of their current grade level. So let's say that they're in third grade and there were two on the scale. That means that they were performing at a fifth grader's level.
Oh, sweet.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
So far? So unsurprisingly, homeschoolers performed the best on every single category, which I was kind of impressed by. Like on some of them, it was way above everyone else. On one of them, there were five grades ahead of like the base grade level on word attack. So that's the best one they performed on. The lowest that they performed on was calculation, but even then they were one grade level ahead of where their grade level was. On average, they were a little over two grades ahead on all subjects.
Dang.
Public schoolers came next, and the best they performed was on comprehension and word attack, and they were about a grade and a half ahead there. The lowest was humanities, and they're basically at their grade level.
So as long as you're going by grades, wouldn't you think that like the actual schoolers are the
control group?
Yeah. I mean, shouldn't they perform at zero?
Yeah, you'd think.
Okay. So they did it most of the time, except for the two things.
Their average performance was about one grade ahead of their grade level.
Okay.
So take that for what you will. And I would call it the control.
Yes.
So the control is one. Homeschoolers perform at one and a half grade, or one grade above that. Now, unschoolers, on five of the seven subjects, they were behind the grade level. And the worst one was humanities, being almost an entire grade behind. And the best one was word attack, where they're half a grade ahead, and on average they were just so slightly behind their grade level. They're basically at a zero on the scale.
Dang.
So they're an entire grade behind public schools and two grades behind homeschoolers.
Oh man.
Right?
But
there is no but.
They're at a 30 for math.
No,
kids love math.
Only two of them, they were slightly ahead on their grade level, and I don't remember which one those were. It was word attack, and maybe I don't remember what the other one was. But to me, like, it doesn't sound like a lot. They're only behind by one or two grade levels. But as a parent, knowing that there's a possibility for better education out there kind of speaks volumes to me.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's just me though.
I think
subjective.
Yeah, and I also think like a little structure does you good.
Yeah.
Even if you like wake up and make your bed every morning, like that not only helps with depression, but it helps with like, this is my day, I'm moving forward.
I do want to give a little bit more credit to unschoolers before I get to my conclusions on unschooling, which is...
Oh, and how big was that study? You said three groups.
It was, I think, like 120 some people.
Okay.
So it was
pretty small, but...
Well, it's small, but it was still sizable. It wasn't like 10 people.
Yeah.
Like some of the other studies I've come across for things we cover on the show. The thing that I found more interesting, this was from a different study that was a questionnaire, but this is a quantifiable part of that questionnaire. A lot of the unschoolers, when they grew up, went into creative professions like artists.
That's
or
awesome.
Filmmaking or whatever. And they did that more so with people than people with a traditional education, which I think makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you're learning about stuff you love. It's going to be a lot easier to be better at it and then go into that profession with some experience.
Or your whole life is based on pursuing things you're passionate about, mm-hmm. versus this is a structure to make money. Yeah. You have to survive.
Yeah. Which kind of, I guess that kind of dovetails in my conclusions, which is I think this is for some kids. I don't think it's for every kid. I'm mostly sold on the whole thing. Like some students have different learning styles and learn at different paces. I think that's important to address in all types of schooling. And I think this does a really good job at it. The whole thing that I don't understand, and maybe I'm just being stupid here, I don't know why these have to be exclusive.
Yeah.
Like
that's my conclusion with this whole thing is, why can't teachers do what your cool teacher did and said, here's four books?
Yeah, well, that or, like, this is just me, again, so it is subjective, but I would go to school and I'd come home and my parents would be great at helping me pursue things I was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Like in fifth grade, I was like, I want to learn about websites. So they bought me domain names and server space so I could go and learn how to do websites.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I want to learn about drawings. So they'd buy me all those how to draw books.
Yeah, my dad bought me, like, home studio equipment.
Yeah.
And now I make money on the side doing that.
Yeah.
Music.
Like, I want to learn about animation. So they buy me a Wacom tablet and the Flash program back in the day.
That's sick.
Like, why does your learning doesn't have to stop when you get home? Mm-hmm. You can still encourage your kid while also giving them the structured public schooling or homeschooling. Maybe I'm just an idiot.
Someone
can write in and tell me I'm stupid.
Well, I also think that that should apply to physical schools. How sick would it be if elementary schools had electives?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Yeah. We would skyrocket.
Yeah. Or if your kid is interested in learning, they could also be like me and start the school newspaper because they want to know how that works. Because
mm-hmm.
I did that when I was a kid.
You know what's a good way to learn, Nick?
Huh. Do it.
StrangeSocialShow.com.
Yeah, it's a really good way to learn. There's also a few things. Again, this is my personal experience. I'm not casting any judgments on schoolers, but there's a lot of things I don't want my kids to miss out on, like a qualified teacher.
Yeah.
They're good at what they do, and if they weren't, they probably wouldn't work there, right? The student interactions. I've mm-hmm. already mentioned that. I want them to interact with other students. Even if it's a bad experience, like at least they learned from it and they know how to deal with D-bags in the future.
Yeah.
Right? It's not the best, but it's part of life. There are a-holes in the real world.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to deal with them. And I guess my main conclusion is it's just not perfect. And nothing's going to be perfect. It might be good for one kid, but it's not a one-size-fits-all. And I feel like, and maybe I'm just reading into this too far, but I feel like proponents of unschooling get really defensive about unschooling and act as if it's perfect when clearly it's not.
Yeah.
There are flaws. You can't just think you have an answer for everything when there's empirical evidence to say otherwise.
I also think it's like a counterculture thing. So they're probably attacked more often than we...
Yeah, which I understand why they get defensive, but at the same time, you can't pretend it's all perfect and then have those people believe you. You need to be like, yeah, there are problems with it. Our kids might be behind, but it doesn't, when they hit the real world or whatever, when they're old enough to get a job, it doesn't affect them. Like, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, they're not socially awkward. I have lots of friends that I have them socialize with. That's not a good answer.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And you're applying an objective measurement to a subjective lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like... So. If you want your kid to be happy,
yeah.
Why not let them be happy?
Yeah, I don't know. The last thing I want to address is when John Holt says that you can't know what's going to be useful in the future, so you can't make a curriculum around it
because
you don't know if it's going to be useful or not. I take severe issue with that.
Me too.
Because, like, when am I ever going to use the 6 creative writing courses I took in high school in the real world? I'm not, but... The reason you take geometry or biology in high school is because by learning, you create more synapses, which makes it easier for you to think faster and makes your brain more pliable so you can keep learning.
Yeah, you have to learn to learn.
Yeah. Like, even if you don't use it, it still keeps your brain nimble and makes your brain bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just, like, say that learning things is bad that you're not going to use later on down the road.
Well, not only that, but if you learn tools that can help you adapt to whatever the future brings too, there's nothing wrong with that. Like,
I don't know.
You learn how to solve logic puzzles in school or something.
Yeah.
And then in the future, you should be flexible.
Yeah. I don't know. Nothing's perfect. I feel like the world is getting better at that. Maybe it's just Iowa that had good teaching techniques like that, but I don't know. If you want the best education, surprisingly, that's homeschooling.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't say surprisingly. I've always, all the homeschoolers I've known have been way smarter than me, but yeah.
Well, I've got some cool teachers too, and I'm sure I'm going to share that story after the break.
After the break? The break goes right here. Hey, John.
Hey, Nicholas.
John.
Yeah.
Where can people find us?
What? StrangeSocial.com.
Yeah. Hey, you know what, people? First of all, go rate us on iTunes because that will, like, counteract the 3-star that we got.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you want to support the show even more, you can support us on the network Patreon. We're part of the Flying Machine Network, and we want to do more things with this show. I'm just going to keep reiterating this because if you like the show, I think you'll like the things we want to do. We want to do some more video content. We want to, like, live stream this thing that we're doing right now.
Yeah. We want you to look at us in the eyes.
Yeah.
Right in the eyes.
It's a little like the Glenn Beck show.
Yeah.
Remember that?
What?
Remember when Glenn Beck first got his show on Fox? He had one camera where the camera was only on his eyes. You've never seen this?
No.
He's like, I want to make eye contact with my audience at all times. So he had a close up on his eyes.
No.
And then the rest of there's another camera that was like a normal news show.
No, I hate it.
Oh my God. You got to see this. Okay.
Okay.
We'll find out later. So there is that. So go support us on Patreon and tell your friends about the show. That's all I got.
Yeah. Are you excited to, and also, yeah, if you support us on Patreon, Because you're going to see us eventually, we can buy combs and stuff and like make sure we don't look like garbage.
We can also buy new equipment for the quote-unquote studio we have. We forgot to mention, the audio might sound a little bit different in this episode because now there is a couch.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even mention the couch.
I know, we got a new couch. Mm-hmm. I call it my ugly couch, but it's covered up now.
Yeah.
And I think we need to come up with a name for it.
Like, why don't we let listeners come up with a name?
Yeah. Listeners, if you have a good name for my new couch, feel free to put that on our Facebook page. Speaking of Facebook page, I'll let you tell your story. But I asked people for their favorite school memories. And through that, I got a response from someone who was unschooled for many, many years. And I asked them what their thoughts were and if I could read it on the show. And they said yes. And I'm finding it right now so that I can read it to our audience.
Mm-hmm. And you're stalling.
This is from Chris.
Yep.
He said that he personally enjoyed unschooling. And he enjoyed it a lot because his interests weren't the same as other kids their age. So when they progress, I'll just read it how they read it. So when I progressed through the early stages of education from kindergarten to like seventh grade, my mom let me study the subjects I was interested in and let me learn on my own in a lot of ways. It was good, but it hurt my social life a lot. I didn't have a lot of friends growing up that weren't from church or other homeschooled kids that I'd see every once in a while. My mother was a supervising teacher for other homeschoolers, but besides that, it was pretty tight. I mainly did whatever I wanted to do during the day, and I had my homework at night, quote-unquote homework at night, whenever I felt like it. They said I did get a GED at the end of it all, but yeah, it was pretty cool. Met a lot of weird families and strange people, which I'm actually really curious about that. Chris also said I'd get deeper into detail, but they had to get up early. But I super appreciate all the comments.
I think you follow up a little bit after that.
Yeah,
too,
he said, here's what my eighth grade life schedule was like.
Sweet.
Wake up at 10 a.m., eat, skateboard, play music, read a book, mess around with my brothers outside, do some school, and then hang out some more. So that's the unschooled life.
Dang.
So tell me about your favorite teachers.
Yeah, so
I think I've talked about mine on the show, so I won't. I'll leave it to you.
Well, this did I ever tell you about Mr. Walsh?
I don't know.
Sixth grade teacher. So there was this program, totally unfair. It was all like, again, it's because of like, there wasn't enough funding.
Yeah.
They had this raffle, and you had the raffle to get into what's called the REACH program.
Oh, God.
And Mr. Walsh was like one of the lucky teachers that got part of the REACH program. Yeah. And that meant that we get to go on field trips and other classes don't.
Oh, that's fair.
They only had enough money for one. So I got lucky enough to go to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
I went to the Baltimore Aquarium, I think, or something like that. Yeah. We went all over the place, and we learned about history by like being there and mm-hmm. being hands-on. But the coolest part about him is he was like one of those people that like got the right job. Like, you could tell he loves what he does. Mm-hmm. He would come into sixth grade. We're older.
Yeah.
Like, we're not little baby kids.
I mean, you kind of are.
We kind of, but like, you know.
You think you're older than you really are.
We think we're cool as hell. Yeah. We're interested in the opposite sex or the same sex, whatever. Yeah. And,
Or no sex.
But we're like, it's not where you're like a little kid where you're like talking about your Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He would come in like.
Yeah, playing with your letter blocks, you nerd.
Yeah, you nerd. He'd come in as a character and teach math like as like an old woman mm-hmm. in glasses.
And like Mrs. Doubtfire
style? Yeah, he'd do stuff like that and then he'd leave and then he'd come back in and he would never address it and he'd act like. Oh, I just had to run to lunch.
Yeah.
And like he would just do stuff like that.
I feel like my first grade teacher, Mr. Gerdner, would do that.
Yeah, no, this guy.
If I'm not mistaken.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
So he'd do that and we had he was really into science. And he would kind of encourage us to like, he would ask us what we're interested in, like pursue that too. Mm-hmm. And what's cool is like I grew up and I got to see him again and like still doing the same thing. It was really cool.
I guess my teacher like that was in fifth grade. I had a Mrs. Gorman. And in fourth grade, I started a little class newspaper.
Yeah.
And I went to my teacher and I was like, hey, I did this last year. Can I do this for our class? And she's like, why don't you do it for the whole school? And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So she encouraged me to do that. And like all of our language arts lessons were now revolved around that as a class. So she'd tie in newspaper writing into language arts somehow.
That's so sick.
And she went on to be, I believe, a principal in Arizona.
You got a baby Rory looking at you.
Yeah, she's a dork. but yeah, she was a great teacher. So yeah, shout out to Miss Gorman.
I want to shout out just one more.
Yeah, go for it.
Just because I had a video class.
Yeah.
And he trusted us so much that this was in
like
junior high school.
Club?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It was just chill. Like, he would just say, here's a bunch of Macs. Have fun.
And like Mr. Schmucker from me.
He's
a great teacher, too.
Mr. Ellers. And he he had like, my class, we all, because of that class, most of us grew up to be in the film industry. Like my friend Troy is a like camera operator.
Yeah.
And like my other friend does like special effects.
Cody.
Cody works as a director for music videos. Yeah. We were all in that same class together. He still shows like apparently, cause my mom works in that same school district now.
Yeah.
He still showed our films like a couple of years ago to kids, like as a lesson of like what we could become. And that was fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, at one point there was a guy who passed away in a war in Iraq, and he made us interview his widow, and he trusted us in like eighth grade to like
be not D-bags about it.
Yeah, to be cool to like document that because he thought we were talented enough to handle a serious adult situation.
Yeah.
And I scored the music for it. I remember.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really sad, but it was like it was his widow and his son, his like little kid.
Yeah,
and it was really sad. But at the same time,
that like forces you as kids to take it seriously.
Yeah, So he, and again, like it's just the responsibility. That's what this whole thing came to. This whole episode is about trusting kids.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, the two don't have to be mutually exclusive. If you have a good teacher, they're going to do that. So
yep.
One more shout out because you got two and I want two.
All right.
My last shout out is Mr. Schmucker, who I already said, but he was my graphic design slash he's just like the computer teacher, but he would teach cool stuff like Photoshop and Flash, and he also taught like normal art stuff like sculpture and stuff, but he knew that I really liked Flash and knew a bunch about it, so he had me write some of the lesson plans for him.
Oh, that's so
sick.
Then
like he'd go up to the projector and have me on control back on the program and pointing at stuff, sometimes speaking to the class and guiding them. So he was like big into, if you're good at something, you do it.
Yeah. I can't wait to send this episode to these people.
Yeah. Mr. Schmucker's retired now, which actually makes me really sad, but I ran into him at, Moe's. Welcome to Moe's. Ran into there. And, he's a great guy, still doing great. So shout out to him. And all you great teachers. I've had many great teachers.
Yeah.
So if I didn't say your name in this episode, don't feel excluded. There's plenty of other great teachers that I've had, and I'm sure they'll come up in different episodes.
Yeah.
And I'm still Nick.
And I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.